Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we want you to know that you are not your work.
The topic is rest. We're without Chris Hellman today because he's resting. He's on vacation somewhere, as far as I know.
Somewhere.
Right? He's traveling.
Yeah, he's traveling somewhere.
Traveling, getting away.
He's putting this podcast to work by just doing it.
He's probably listening to this podcast as he travels. So, Mike, this was spurred by a question from a listener. Can you frame that up for us?
Yeah, we had a friend, Doug, shoot us an email, and he asked, or he let us know that it's hard for him to let go of work on Sunday. He says, the Sundays I do put work aside, I often feel guilty the following Monday, either because I am now behind where I should be, or because the rest time felt lazy or unproductive.
And so the question he posed is, can you discuss what it looks like to rest well? So there you go. Yes, we can, Doug, and we will.
That's what we're going to do.
Can you relate to not being able to rest well? I mean, I don't think Doug's by himself in this.
No, not at all.
No.
I happen to know him, and he's in a very high-pressure field of work, and so it makes sense, the work that he does, but I think most of us can relate to that sense of sort of a relentlessness to the pace of our work, and when it comes time to step away and sort of just shut it off for a while, it can be really challenging to do that.
Yeah. I feel like there's sometimes when I have kind of moved away from work, like say on a Friday evening or a Saturday morning, but when I lay down or when I find myself in a moment of silence, all those things flood back in. Like my mind just recalls all the stuff I have to do or the emails I have to respond to. And it is discouraging sometimes when you can't turn your brain off to those things.
We're definitely all, I think, in that season where our work is mobile and we can work all the time. And so I definitely feel Doug's tension where he's saying, I feel like if I take a day off, if I take Sunday off, then I'm more behind on Monday. Which I actually think, though, so as much as we can all relate to that, I actually think that that's an illusion. I think that we're better in our work if we actually do take rest and do take days off.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Actually, statistics have borne that out. If you study all the work that's being done, like at Harvard Business School and in these sort of journals and studies that are focused on Americans and their work, they will all sort of point to that actually when we rest, when we take a vacation, when we take days off, we're way more productive than when we're just sort of relentless in our pace. And healthier too. I mean, you see all the health issues that are related to stress and overwork, and they're pretty significant, you know.
We have some values around Coram Deo Church. One of those values, at least one of our staff norms, as we would call it, would be to work hard and rest well.
Mm-hmm. Hence the title of this podcast, How Do I Rest Well? There's a couple pieces here. The reason we titled the podcast You Are Not Your Work is because I think that's actually the gospel identity piece here is really significant. We live in a culture that tells you that you are your work. You are what you produce. And the more competitive work environment that you're in, the more this gets pushed on you. It's like, hey, you are what you sell or what you make or the hours you bill or what you produce. That is your identity. America is very much a meritocracy, and we sort of evaluate our worth based on our work. So one of the first things we have to embrace if we're going to get any traction in rest is to just embrace this idea, I am not my work. My identity is separate from what I do. Now, this is a basic gospel truth, right? This is the opposite of works righteousness. Works righteousness is my identity is based on what I do before God. And grace is I'm accepted by God apart from what I do or don't do. So this reality is really foundational to gospel truth, but it's funny to me that sometimes that can hover in this abstract theological land out here and not get connected to how we actually view ourselves. But I have to have a sense that my identity is not what I do. Who I am is separate from what I produce. Now, sometimes it can feel like those two things are so blended together that they're really hard to pull apart. And I get that. Like that, I'm a hardworking person. I'm sort of driven. And so I get how those things can become enmeshed. But I think a starting place is just the identity piece of realizing, okay, I'm not my work. I'm a person made in the image of God who has value, dignity, and worth regardless of what I produce or what I fail to produce.
one of the tools that we use around the church is the Valley of Vision in these prayers. And I was reminded about the one on a disciple's renewal. In light of this particular podcast, there's a line in here, and this is why I was drawn to it. It says, as I have a position in the world, keep me from making the world my position. And I've always, as I've prayed that prayer, I've always related that kind of to vocation and to rest and work. Because it goes along with what you're saying, Bob. When I'm praying a prayer like this, I'm reminding myself and I'm praying before the Lord, man, it's recognizing I do have significance. I do have something to produce here. I do have something to even perform with. But at the same time, that isn't who I am.
Right.
There's something deeper here.
Yeah, so this is the interesting piece, is being able to separate identity from performance, right? Who I am from what I do. And then, but also realizing it, yeah, meaningful work is one of the things God has given us to do. And
right.
it's a significant piece of our calling in the world, right? And so we don't want to separate them in a sense that says, like, well, my identity's over here and who cares what I do? What we do is actually a key part of how we glorify God in the world. We're called into meaningful work. However, that work has to be done from a place of rest and settledness in who we are that is not contingent on that work giving us a name, giving us a sense of identity, giving us a sense of meaning in the world. Well, meaning isn't even the right word, but giving us a sense of identity. I do think it's right to find meaning in our work, but it's not right for us to find identity in our work. We have to have an identity that's disconnected from what we produce. The other piece here, though, is so once we've got that identity piece set up, right? I am not my work, but I have meaningful work to do. Maybe that's mm-hmm. the two phrases, right?
Sure.
I'm not my work, but God has given me meaningful work to do. So I am a person made in the image of God, beloved by God in Christ, and God's given me meaningful work to do. And so I want to labor, you know, whatever you do it with all your heart, the New Testament says, right? So I want to labor well. I want to work hard. I want to be faithful. That gets back to that staff norm that we have at Coram Deo Dusty, work hard and rest well. But when we get to the question of like, okay, but how do we actually put feet to resting? I think we have to embrace sort of the James K.A. Smith line of thinking that you are what you repeatedly do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So the more you get yourself in a habit of being always tied to your work, always on, always reachable and available, the more you are going to find it very, very difficult to actually pull away from work. And so you're going to need to recognize that this area of life has some inertia to it. If you've spent years of your life just working to the bone, right, you're going to find it hard to rest. If you're slothful and you tend to struggle with laziness, you're going to find it hard to work hard. These patterns of inertia take overcoming. And so it's the answer to the question, like, what does it mean to rest well, is, well, it's going to take some work and effort, right? It's not like you magically are going to feel next week, oh man, just feel so restful right now. My soul is so at peace, right? Mm-hmm. If I've built a pattern of really, really avoiding and neglecting rest.
I think it's particularly more challenging for folks who have been in the medical world, or they've had to grind out and survive, if you will, some sort of schooling like that,
yeah.
Where like, man, like the medical students that I know, right? Like they just, to a certain degree, for 5 years, you're just like giving your soul to class and work. And so at the end of the day, when you become a doctor or something, you're like, well, I'm kind of conditioned for this.
Yeah.
And so I can be on call and it not affect me. So yeah, Bob, you're right about the inertia that I got to overcome. So let's talk a little bit about what is actually helpful so that my rest is actually renewing and not necessarily slothful or lazy.
Yeah, I got two practical thoughts here. One is, you know, Andy Crouch with his book, The TechWise Family, has been prescribing this resting from technology a day a week.
Hmm.
Is that right? A day a week a month, and a month a year, something like that, a week
yep.
a year.
Yeah.
Now that I've said it, I've screwed it all up. So.
A day a week a year, and a month a year, something like that.
Let's just
something
say
something like that.
Read the book.
We don't know what Andy said, but it was really helpful.
That was a great idea.
It he did say rest, turn off your devices one day every week and one week every year. So at least those two. Mm-hmm. And there might be some other pattern in there, but at least those two. So that's sort of like your Sunday rest day, Sabbath, and then 1 week a year of just going on vacation and not being connected to technology. Now, I think that pattern that he's prescribing for technology is also true for just work in general. Mm. We're like resting from work a day a week. There's a reason the fourth commandment is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. There's a reason God says 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, mm-hmm. is because God intends us to have that pattern and rhythm to life. Mm. And when we obey that pattern, and I think we need to see it as an issue of obedience. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not just like, I need more rest. It's like, no, I'm disobeying the fourth commandment, mm-hmm. if I am not resting. Mm-hmm. And if I am living life in a way that feels like I'm always on and everything's always up to me. So embracing the fourth commandment and seeing it as an issue of obedience, what that does then is begin to create some of that inertia, some of that pattern of, all right, I'm building a pattern into my life that begins to allow me to rest. Now here's, when you ask the question, how do I define rest? I was with my friend Will Walker recently in Austin. Someone was asking him about his patterns of rest, and here's how he described, because people always ask pastors this. We're like, well, I mean, Sunday's a work day for you, so it's not technically like restful, so how do you rest, you know? And I like to say, well, I mean, even in the Sabbath in the Old Testament, the priest still had to work. Like, it wasn't like the priest got an extra, you know, there wasn't like a Sabbath on Wednesday, right? So like there's some way in which for pastors, the work of ministry is part of what it means to serve the Lord's people on the Lord's day. And then there is the principle of the fourth commandment means we do have to build that rest principle in at some other season during the week. For Will, here's what he said. I think he takes Friday as his sort of day of rest. And here's how he described what rest looks like. He said, what it means to Sabbath is I'm not trying to move anything forward.
Mm. Yeah.
So the way he described it is I just get up, I eat breakfast, make myself mm-hmm. a cup of coffee, and my son comes down the stairs and says, hey, can we go to the rock climbing gym? The answer is yes, we can do that. Like, it's just, I'm just responding to sort of whatever my family asks and needs of me that day. What I'm not doing is trying to execute, produce, do work, move something forward in my world. I thought that's a brilliant definition, because what it does is it avoids sort of the legalism of like, well, I mean, it's going to a climbing gym. Technically, isn't that like working on the Sabbath? You know, like it avoids all the technicalities that people like to get into. And it just says, I'm receiving this day as a gift from the Lord and sort of in an open-handed way, responding to whatever opportunities he presents in it, rather than the other 6 days where I'm sort of trying to accomplish things. And I thought that was really helpful. So those are two practical answers to your questions, is having a rhythm, like Andy Crouch suggests, a day a week, just committing to it. And then during that day, taking the perspective of, okay, how do I not try to move something forward, you know, and execute and accomplish something today, but rather just receive it from the Lord.
Mike, you've done some receiving from the Lord recently.
Yeah.
You
just came back from sabbatical.
You had some extended days off, if you will.
Yeah,
where you weren't moving much forward except for the like steering wheel of your car.
Right? Yeah, so. We're moving a lot of things, a van full of people and clothes and snacks.
Talk to us about it.
Yeah, so from June 1 to the end of June, we were on a ministry sabbatical, and so we had some kind friends give us a place to stay on the Oregon coast, and so we drove 2,000 miles to the Oregon coast through the mountains and rested as a family. I, with four young kids under the age of 11, I didn't think we were going to rest a whole lot, especially spending 8 days on the road. But just getting our family there, the Lord met us and was gracious in allowing me to really check out in a healthy way from work, from even mundane things like owning a home and taking care of that. We had friends mow our lawn for us while we were gone and take care of our house while we were gone. And the Lord met us in that intentional action of, hey, we're going to remove ourselves from work and responsibility in a way and just allow the Lord to, like you said, give to us and us to receive that rest from Him.
And that's not an uncommon practice. Now we're seeing companies do the same thing. Companies are starting to realize that, like, if they invest in their employees, that's not just a church thing or ministry thing, is what mm-hmm. I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. universities do this. Creighton does this the seventh year, I think, at Creighton. Yeah. You got a whole year off or something like that?
Yeah, the standard in the academic world and starting to become more standard in pastoral ministry too, is sort of every 7 years having an extended sort of break. I think you're seeing thoughtful leaders in the corporate world acknowledge, oh, this is actually really good for the long-term health and flourishing of the people that are our employees. And so if we care about them and we want the best work from them, then we care about giving them rest. Now, what's funny is every time we talk about like sabbaticals, right, you're going to have some like plumber listening or some, you know, electrician who's like, man, I've gotten this pushback from people sure. a lot. Just like, well, man, I can't just like take 3 months off whenever I want to. Like yeah. my job is hourly and I bill by the job. And so like,
right.
and I get that. Like there are professions where that's just not realistic. Mm-hmm. And so it is a little bit of a luxury of more of the sort of academic professions or the ministry professions. If I make an apologetic for, because I the pastors I coach, man, I'm always telling them, hey, you've got to build sabbatical into your rhythms. Part of the reason for that, and it's the same in the academic setting, is that for certain kinds of ministry work and certain kinds of knowledge work, you never shut it off. One of the beauties, like my great grandfather was a farmer, right? And one of the beauties of farming is just like, man, when the sun goes down, you stop working. Like, and this was before the days of like, you know, lights on the tractor and that kind of, it's just like, yeah. hey, we work till it gets dark and then we go home and, you know, there's then in the wintertime, but obviously there's much less work that you can do. You can still maintain your equipment and that kind of thing, but you're not out in the fields working the crops. So there's a natural rhythm and pattern to that sort of life that was very tied to the land. Now with electricity and with email and with devices, it's just, you know, your work can follow you around endlessly. Mm-hmm. And in pastoral ministry, you know, you're carrying the weight of leading and shepherding and people's concerns all the time in a way that makes it really difficult to sort of actually rest, you know? And so that's the reason for sort of building in those set times of intentional sabbatical. And I really encourage pastors and ministry leaders to take advantage of that and to build that into the rhythm, because I just think there's, if you think about the ministry, the pastoral ministry as a profession where, the health of your soul matters. Now we would say the health of every Christian soul matters, but like it matters for a pastor in a way that like your all of your leadership is tied to like, how is your relationship with the Lord and how is your soul and how are you doing as a human being? You can't underestimate the significance of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everybody's got vacation days, right? So real quick story here. My wife and kids were away in Montana for a week for a family reunion. I stayed particularly because of some things that were already on the ministry calendar and because we were going to take some significant time off at the end of the month for kind of a family vacation. So my wife and kids pack into the van, they go up there, and I'm like 3 days into being alone at home, which was weird, number one. Being alone in my own house, which is usually hustle bustle, and there's 8 of us there and a dog, right? So it's me and the dog. I'm starting to yeah. talk to the dog. Like we're having conversations now. We're tight. So anyway, I realized the third day into them being gone, so this is on a Wednesday, I said to my wife on the phone, I was talking to her on the phone, I was like, man, you know what I'm realizing is that while you're gone, I work a lot. Mm. And I asked her, I said, I'm trying to figure out if I work this much when you're in town, or if I just am working more since you're out of town. And so that was an interesting marital conversation for us to have. And really, regardless of the quantity of time, we are very preoccupied with our work, no matter if we're moving something forward or not. And so so I think it's important to build into the rest times of actual renewal, which is to what you said earlier about we're not moving something forward, but we're also being renewed in something that is not productive, but it's productive to our soul. It's stuff we're reading that's not for us ministry oriented or for a doctor medical oriented.
This is good. This is good.
So like, you know, I'm remodeling this house right now and I'm at the point where we're a year deep into this remodel and we're at the place where we just want to be done with it. And at the same time, it's been very refreshing at times to just get to just rip out a wall or put in a door, like Mike helped me put in a door last week. So just stuff like that's actually fruitful and helpful. And I know that you do the same.
Well, I have an old uncle who's a wise old pastor who's now retired. And he used to say all the time, if you work with your mind, you Sabbath with your hands. And if you work with your hands, you Sabbath with your mind. So like when I was working on a masonry crew and we were laying brick all day, man, those guys, when 3:30 came and we were knocking off, they don't want to see another, they don't want to lift another thing, carry another thing, swing a hand. They just want to go like rest, you know, that meant read a book, cook something on the grill with their family, right? It was just like, it was that kind of rest. And Dusty, for those who tend to work with their mind more, it's exactly what you said. I find that some of the most restful stuff is just working on projects around the house or doing woodworking or, you know, gardening or something that gets my hands and my body involved in a way that sort of lets my mind rest a little bit. So I think that's a really good principle. The other thing I was thinking of as you were talking is I was in Europe recently with all these leaders from around the world, Australia and all over Europe and Africa and Asia and the Middle East. And it's really funny to me, man. These cultures all, like, these guys would ask me, like, oh, so are you here on holiday? and holiday, if you're British or Australian, it's like they actually take like 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah. And it's just like, it's like for real vacation. Like holiday is, don't email me, don't call me, I'm not showing up at work. And it's expected in those cultures. That's just like super normal. And it's funny to me, think going back to your question of like why more employers are using the vehicle of sabbatical. It's because if you study the data, Americans don't take vacation anymore. Like even if you have 2 or 3 weeks of vacation at your job, I mean, think about it. When's the last time someone you worked with took 2 weeks in a row of vacation? Like when people do that, you think they die. Like where you been, man? You've been gone for like 12 days. Like, well, yeah, that's what our parents and grandparents used to do. That used to be like a normal vacation, right? So the practice in other cultures of just honoring 3 or 4 weeks off at a time and just seeing that as like no one's trying to get a hold of you, that I think is the thing that we've begun to lose in some of how we've learned to work in America that needs to be regained, and some of the reason why sabbatical and Sabbath rest is a really important piece of that.
Well, I've noticed two friends working for companies, and their companies don't give them vacation. They're just like, yeah, take time whenever you want.
Yeah, you
but
can have
what
it
they find is like people don't take it.
Yep.
Because there's no like use it or lose it, or you know, strict boundaries to what days you can take. And so even that's fascinating that some companies are going the opposite direction and saying, well, yeah, take whatever time off you want, but most people don't.
That's crazy. Like, you know, the culture's in trouble when we don't even need vacation days anymore.
Yeah.
You can just say, hey, yeah, do whatever you want, which just really means you're just going to give us more of your soul if we don't give you vacation days.
Yeah, let's think, you know, let's connect this to, I connected it early on to the issue of identity. Let's also connect it to the issue of idolatry, right? We're prone to idolize our work and turn it into one of the places where we find meaning and where we, in a sense, worship. And so we've got to, as Christians, see our propensity to that and repent. But going back to the question the listener asked, what does it mean to rest well? Hopefully what you've heard thus far is it means grounding my identity in the gospel. It means building some specific rhythms and patterns in that are going to feel clunky at first. It means committing to those patterns over time and being faithful to that rhythm. It means figuring out what rest looks like, you know, what does renewal look like. The final thing I guess I might add is going back to what you were saying, Dusty, about sort of how to rest. Rest and renewal is different than passivity and entertainment. And I think for many, like I just, you know, like I said, I was in Europe, and so the flight over there is an 8-hour flight from New York City. And so, you know, just like you can watch as many movies as you can in 8 hours, just like right there in that little screen is just like everybody on the plane just like watches 4 movies in a row, and then, oh, now we're in Germany, right? And what's funny about that is it's nice to have that on a plane because you're captive there, and you know, it's like, okay, I feel like, you know, that in a way can be helpful for a long flight. But so many Americans have bought into the idea that if I'm being entertained, if I'm watching Netflix or I'm watching a movie, that's what's restful. And it's just not restful. It might be, it might cause you to unplug, quote unquote, and there can be grace in that, but rest and renewal is different than passivity and entertainment. And I think understanding that is really key. I'm reading into underneath the question, why can it feel sometimes like even when we set aside time to rest, it doesn't feel restful? Well, it can be because our rest looks like watching Netflix. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't actually give our soul and our body and our mind a chance to actually sort of have space, right? We're just taking in a different way.
A lot of the things that we rest with, like you're saying, are numbing. They actually numb, or they're like a narcotic in a way where they don't actually help us. They actually just put us deeper into unrest and
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we just buy the culture's idea of rest, which would be binge watching Netflix.
Yep.
And really we just end up more depleted at the end of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us to figure out what actually brings us individually renewal. I don't want to pastorally mandate anything here, but one of the things that my wife and I have really tried to discipline ourselves towards is some sort of marriage retreat every single year. And it takes an army to pull this off with the amount of responsibility going on around.
You have an army living in your house.
We have an army living with us, and then it takes another army. Like, we have the army living with us, and then it takes like the Marines and the Navy to like to like keep them under control. So it takes a lot of work, but you know, and my wife and I have had conversations about like, well, you know, like I'm just home and I'm just staying with the kids and homeschooling the kids, and so like I don't really. What are we going to do? You know, like she doesn't feel justified sometimes in doing that. And I'm like, hey, this actually is your work. And so two nights away is ridiculously restful for her. Nobody's interrupting her sleep. She's not preparing meals for anybody. We're eating out. Now, not everybody can do that financially, I understand too. But if it's good enough for Jesus to move away from his work and it made the Ten Commandments, then we have to be able to figure it out. For whatever our context is. Early on in the ministry, the thing that struck me the most was Luke 5:16, where Jesus has called the disciples, he's healed a leper, and then there's this moment where he just steals away time and he's with the Father. Mm-hmm. And it's most likely just more prayer and spiritual renewal. But that verse jumped out at me in my early 20s into ministry because I realized, man, Jesus is just blitzed with ministry. There's healing going on. His disciples are after him. It follows up with like, hey, where have you been? Like, we need you, right? And he's like, look, I just went up to the mountain and prayed, you know? Mm-hmm. So if he can steal away time, we have to steal away time.
To go back further, earlier than the Ten Commandments, God resting on the seventh day in creation, when we rest, it's imaging God. We are mimicking his character when we do that. So it's not just, oh, we must do this to obey God's commands, but we're also imaging him and becoming more like him as we rest, as we take intentions to rest.
One final thought here as we sort of land the plane is, let's also not make the opposite mistake of idolizing rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like, just like we idolize work, I think we can also idolize rest. And what that sounds like is, man, if I could just get a day off, if I could just get a long vacation, if I could just get a sabbatical, if I could just be free from my work, then I would have life and have it abundantly, right? And So the careful sort of gospel line we have to walk here is to say, what does it look like not to idolize my work, but also not to idolize rest, and rather to live, to see life itself as a gift, work as a gift,
yep,
and rest as a gift. And so when I enter into my work, I enter into it worshipfully, meaning I'm receiving this work that God's given me to do, and I'm executing it to the best of my abilities because it glorifies God. And I'm also entering into rest and receiving that as a gift from God, and because it glorifies God for me to do so. That changes, I think, sort of the calculus here, because I think in a culture where we recognize our tendency to work so much and to idolize our work, we can make the opposite mistake just as easily and justify it as like biblical to rest. You know, I'm idolizing rest, but I'm calling it biblical. And in reality, a real and meaningful rest looks like grounding myself in Christ and in what it means to be in Christ, such that both my work and my rest are engaged as worship. I'm living all of life to the glory of God.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from you, the listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast ideas, please send us an email at podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.